On the way home from Bangladesh, we flew into Dubai, and we were hindered by a sandstorm, and the plane was trying to fly above the sandstorm, and we couldn't land at Dubai. Therefore, it made us late for our next flight home from Dubai over to Washington, D.C. And they said that the Dubai airport is a great big place, and they said that you're going to have to hurry to make it from your gate to the gate where the outgoing flight is in your plane to go home. So we were hustling. We were running in the airport, and people were watching us, and we were all sweated up, and we were running and running and running, probably seemed like a quarter of a mile or so. And they said, you're going to have to hurry. And on the loudspeaker system, why, they were calling for us to come and get it on our plane. And they said, Weaver and Martin must be here in just a few minutes. And we kept on going, and we were running as fast as we could. And just as we got about 200 feet away from the door, went closed on the plane. And we went up there and said, can we get on? And they said, no, the door is shut. The door is shut. We were just outside the door. But they wouldn't let us on. The plane was still there, hadn't backed out yet, and they wouldn't let us on. We were outside the door, and we looked at each other, and Brother Tim Martin and I looked at each other, and what are we going to do now? So he called Brother Clyde, and he figured something out for us to go home through Doha and around a different way. But we got home all right, but it definitely wasn't like we hoped it would be. But we were just outside the door. We couldn't get there. There was no way they were going to let us on. We were just outside the door. And tonight, I'm asking you about a situation that's much more serious than that, than whether you're flying out of Dubai or not. Are you just outside the door? Is Jesus just outside the door? I would like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. I want to read the account once again of the very familiar story of the Laodicean church. Starting in verse 14. Through verse 22. And unto the angel, the minister of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen. Jesus Christ is the Amen, the faithful and true, the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Whether thou wert cold, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white and mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I would like to follow the outline tonight of the words. They all start in P. The problem that is presented here, the proposition that is presented, and then finally the promise that is presented through Jesus Christ. The question I have to ask for you is Jesus just outside the door? That is a serious question. Is Jesus knocking on your door, and is he just outside the door? So tonight I'm calling you to let Jesus in, unashamedly calling you to let Jesus in, unlatch the door from the inside, and let Jesus in. The problem is that in the Laodicean church here, that they said that, they were neither cold nor hot. And Jesus said, I would that thou wert cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What a despicable picture that is. Puking is horrible. We all detest that. Even when we do it ourselves, we detest puking. The problem was, though, that they were lukewarm. The Laodicean church was lukewarm, and they had a lot of problems in their church. Number one, I want to start on the problem. This message is to invite everyone here this evening within the sound of my voice, regardless of your name, regardless of your age, regardless of whether you gave your heart to Jesus or not already, to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. The lukewarm person, or more modern, we could call it a casual person. A casual person keeps Jesus outside the door. The problem with many today is they take a nonchalant approach to the relationship with Jesus Christ. They take a casual approach to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. And they were lukewarm, and he would rather have them be cold or hot. I have need of nothing. I am okay. I am okay. I can run around and I can do worldly things and I can come to church. And I'm okay. I'm okay with the balance between country music and church, the kingdom of God. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with materialism. I'm okay coming to church. Listen tonight, God hates a casual approach to Christianity. He calls it lukewarm here, and he hates it. And when he hates it, he hates it. God hates a casual approach to Christianity. The casual Christian is a lukewarm Christian. Thou art neither cold nor hot. The styles of the world are okay with me. We can look like the world. You know, and regardless, they're here today and gone tomorrow. They're very cheap. Oh, I'm old enough to remember when jacked up cars were the thing. You jacked them way up in the back end, and that was a big thing. Big wide tires. Now, if somebody would drive in with a car like that, what is that? I remember when bell-bottom sideburns were the thing. Never see them anymore. Very seldom. The styles of the world are here today and gone tomorrow. They are not absolute. And, you know, we could talk about styles. But, dear ones, tonight, the world talks about casual friendship, casual clothes. They like a casual Jesus. They want a casual Jesus. They want casual worship services. And the world also likes a casual Bible. We like it. You know, the Bible's pretty, it's brutally clear. It says who goes to heaven and who stays out. Who goes to hell? It's very clear. It's absolute. If you do these things, you're not going to heaven. You are going to the other place. You cast out into the lake of fire. That's what it says. It is absolute. We like casual preaching. And we even want casual confessions and casual repentance. My Bible says that if thou shalt believe that thou shalt confess thy mouth of the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, it doesn't say casually you might be saved. It says thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with sin confession is made unto salvation. Listen, dear ones. Are there rooms in your heart? You know, I have a friend who was in the ministry with me, and he fell into sin, and he could preach on Sunday morning and have an affair on Thursday night. And I asked him, how can you do that? How could you do that? He said, I had different compartments in my heart. And I was in one compartment on Sunday morning and another compartment on Thursday night. And that's indeed the way he was. Listen tonight, casual Christianity is counterfeit. It's a counterfeit Christianity. Don't get it mixed up. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's what the Bible says. It says it all over the place. Make a absolute clear line. You cannot be lukewarm. We like to talk, have casual talking. Ephesians 5 says, foolish talking, filthy and foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We like to talk that way. We like to think casually. We like to have a casual moral life. Oh, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Casual moral life, and we like a casual worship. I like inspirational worship services, sure do. I like when the saints get together. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But my Bible says that the preaching should rebuke, comfort, and so forth. So that's what preaching is to do. If your preachers rebuke you sometimes on Sunday morning, say, praise God. Self-satisfaction and indifference produce spiritual blindness. Relativism, the standard for my life, is set by the standards of society, and we have a relative standard out there tonight. There is a teaching of evolution, and there's no absolutes out there, and so we're seeing it in our society where we believe that, oh, it can be this way, or it could be that way, or you can believe that, I'll believe this. Listen tonight. Jesus, God, and the Bible are absolute. They are absolute. They cut a clear line. They are absolutely the truth. The reason they are the absolute is because they are true. Truth cannot be two ways. It cannot be, Paul says it can, but cannot be yea and nay, but it's yea and yea or nay and nay. Jesus wants intensity. He wants truth. He wants you committed to truth. I don't know how many of you have ever heard the story of William Borden. He was from your state here somewhere in New York City. He was heir to the Borden Milk Company's fortune, a vast fortune back in the early 1900s. He was a brilliant student, a Yale graduate. He had turned down many high-paying jobs, decided to serve. He'd responded to Jesus and decided to serve in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he focused on Muslim work in China. And so after much preparation and study, he sailed for China. And when he got to China, he developed spinal meningitis. And at 25, he was dead. Many people mourned his missed opportunity of wealth. And they opened his Bible, and in the back, he said this. When he sailed to China, he kept notes. He said, when he left the New York Harbor out here, he said, no reservations. When he got to China and he saw the teeming masses of people, he said, no regrets. And when he finally was so sick and he couldn't do anything, he said, no turning back. Dear ones, tonight, take this home with you. Your life needs to be one of no reservations, no regrets, and no turning back when you embrace Jesus Christ. No reservations, no regrets, and no turning back. Say yes to Jesus and no to self every time, like our poem says. Casual commitments, the casual Christian is a counterfeit Christian. Or maybe you're a check-the-box religious person who keeps Jesus outside the door. You are, yes, I will look like a Christian. I will act like a Christian. I will do what Christians do. But deep down in your heart, you're only doing it in a Pharisaical way. Listen tonight, is Jesus outside the door because you are religious but not completely surrendered to Jesus? You can do that. Jesus told the story of a young man that came to him one day. And the young man came to him and said, Jesus, what may I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. You know them. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Don't cheat anybody out. And he answered him again, said, Master, I believe he might have had a plain suit on. And he said he held it out there like this, and he said, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him and beheld him. And loved him. And said unto him, one thing you're lacking. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then you can come and take up the cross and follow me. And the young man was sad. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He had a check-the-box religion. He could do, you know, I think if Jesus would have said, do one more thing, he would have did it. But if it takes commitment, complete surrender of everything from the bottom of your heart to the top of your heart, he wasn't willing to do that. He went away sad. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus didn't require him just to call in the auctioneer and sell your business. He says, sell it and give it away. Gone. Gone. That's what Jesus wants out of you tonight. I don't want to sugarcoat it. Jesus wants total commitment. This cheap religion that's out there, just say you believe in Jesus. That's not Jesus' lordship. That's, you're still outside the door if you believe that. Number three, to be almost persuaded keeps Jesus outside the door. In Acts 26, we see that Jesus was standing, Apostle Paul rather, was standing before Festus the king. And he was testifying to Festus or Agrippa. And Apostle Paul said, do you believe, you know, Jesus was just outside the door for Festus. He was right there, just outside the door. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that thou not only, but also that almost, hear me this day, we're both almost and all together, such as I am, except these bonds. If you are outside the door, friends, are you inside? You can't be both. You're outside. You're not inside. You are almost, you are right up to the door, very nearly, but not entirely. If your business almost made a profit last year, did you? If you almost made it to church, did you? We know the answer. Almost is not good enough. Almost won't do it. You're still outside. Jesus is still outside. Almost is not good enough. Tonight, if you're here and you're almost, Jesus is almost. If you're almost ready to give in to Jesus, you're almost ready to invite him in. I think that's a good place to be, but you need to say yes. Come on in. Number four, procrastination keeps Jesus outside the door. A couple chapters earlier in Acts, Felix was there, and the Apostle Paul was testifying to him, and he was telling him, you know, you shouldn't run around with other people's wives, and you shouldn't drink beer, and you shouldn't, and you should be ready for judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, and he said, go thy way. Go thy way for this time when I have a more convenient season. How many of you have said that? Oh, come on, I can't do it tonight. But yeah, I want to do it. I want to get it done, but I can't. Procrastination. Sometimes I will confess my sins. I have the intentions to let Jesus in, but I will sometime. I will deal with the temperance righteousness, and I will confess my sins sometime. Not good enough, folks. There's many people we could look at tonight. Love of this world keeps Jesus outside the door. You know, Lot was in a situation where he was there in Sodom and thing was burning. There was fire coming down. There was, pillars of fire coming out of the sky. And I believe people were there in their work vans and they said, what is that? You know, this is bouncing off the road and hitting on the side of the vans and so forth. And Lot and his wife were just almost out of Sodom. And Lot drug her, took her by the hand, and she went out of Sodom. But Lot's wife, she turned around and she looked back at that nice house, that nice business, the Walmart, the restaurants. She looked back at that. I want to see this one more time. She almost made it away, but she turned back and became a pillar of salt. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not later on this evening, but now is the day of salvation. Elijah called. He was on Mount Carmel, and the forces of evil were there, the prophets of Baal. And he said to all those assembled there, he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. Listen tonight, there's only two ways to go. There's only two ways to go. How long halt ye between two opinions? The peril of easy believism has many people wondering if they are Christians. You need to know tonight. I'd like to look at the proposition now of Jesus. Hear the voice of Jesus. Come open the door. The proposition means suggested theme or plan of action. He says, open the door and buy gold that thou mayest Yeah, buy gold that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Buy gold. Tonight, I'm asking you, the proposition of Jesus is to buy gold. And the gold, my friends, is right here. It's right here. That's gold. Worth more than anything. More than gold. Gold is a lot of money. Gold has maintained its value. Tonight, buy gold. Buy the gospel. Come unto me and rest. All ye that are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Buy gold, tried in the fire. The gold that's eternal, not temporal. Listen tonight. Buy gold, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Buy white raiment with your gold. You're poor, you're weak, you're without salvation, you're naked, it says. That the shame of thy nakedness, the ridiculous excuses, our spiritual blindness do not appear, do not control us. Absolute, you know, tonight I am impressed again as I studied for this message that God is so absolute. Absolute is the concept of unconditional reality. There's a yes, it's yes and yes, or no and no. The shifting beliefs of relativism and in our apostate society dictates what we believe and practice. And I'm sorry, dear ones, but it's sweeping into the church. Don't know. You don't know. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly how we can get inside by gold. I would like to look at the promise now. The promise to those who open the door. Jesus does not have a casual promise. He has an absolute promise. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in thy throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. I ask you tonight, where is Jesus in your life? Jesus invites us to the life of overcoming, not a casual stroll to be sure, but a lifelong struggle to overcome, a life of discipleship. But the promise is there. Will you sit with Jesus on his throne? That's the condition. That is the promise. You will be able to sit with Jesus on his throne. Is Jesus outside the door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I will come in and sup with you. Jesus wants a relationship with you, regardless of your position in life, regardless of how old you are. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants to come in and sup with you, drink coffee, and have a relationship with you. My Bible says in Acts that there is none other name under heaven among men whereby ye must be saved. It is absolutely the truth. It means to let Jesus in the door, in every room in your heart, in every aspect of your life, without conditions, without being related to any other belief or feeling. It is an absolute condition on which we go to heaven. In fact, I can tell you tonight that if Jesus is knocking on your door and you keep saying no, you will miss heaven. You must be born again. You must be born again. And like I said, it'll start you on a long journey of overcoming. It's not a casual stroll to be a Christian. Church history has told us that. Apostle John here was boiled, lived to be an old man, but he was boiled in a pot of water. Apostle Paul was crucified upside down. More recently, Michael Sattler, an Anabaptist martyr, was drugged through the streets with flesh tongs. His tongue was cut out. Can you imagine the horribleness of that? And he promised his followers that if I am victorious, they drug him to the stake, they tied him to the stake. And when the bands were burnt off of his hands, he raised his hand. Said, I'm victorious. I have won. And he died that way. That was our own Anabaptist history. And the sad thing about it was that 8 days later, they told his wife to either recant or be drowned. And she said no. So she was drowned 8 days later because she was standing for an absolute principle that she wouldn't give. Resisting the knock of Jesus, whether he's calling you to the stake or to persecution, North Vietnam tonight, North Korea, if you give your heart to Jesus and you pray to Jesus, they will kill you. They consider that treason. You pray to the emperor in North Korea, and if you pray to Jesus, they will kill you. And they're doing it right along. The choice to open the door comes from inside. Jesus is outside saying, can I come in? Will you open the door? Jesus will not come in unless you open the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Come on in. Say that. No one is forced against his will. Jesus will only come if he's invited. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. The songwriter says it very clearly. Lonely without he's staying. Lonely within am I. While I am still delaying, he will not pass me by. Him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with Jesus, my Father. Discipleship and cross-bearing, for sure. But listen, What happens when you ask Jesus to come in? What are the promises? Number one, your sins are blotted out. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Those of us who know that our sins can be blotted out, we remember that feeling, that peace. Our sins are blotted out. If you have a conscience that is bothering you and you know there's sins there, your sins can be blotted out. Acts says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. Oh, there's an angel in heaven, I believe. I believe that's probably what happens. He blots out your name and you can go to heaven. If any man love me, I will come in, Jesus said. We are reconciled with Jesus. We are reconciled with Jesus. When sin is present, you will not enjoy a relationship with Jesus. You're reconciled. There are, by Jesus' blood and justification, he reconciles us, and our sins are taken from against our account to forgiven and forgotten. He reconciles us. What a blessed thing that is. What a blessed place to be reconciled. Your name is written in the book of life. When you give your heart to Jesus, there's another angel that writes your book name in the book of life. I've often wondered, is Joe Weaver's name there? We trust it is. Written in the book of life. Put your name in there. Do you want to be written in the book of life? Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jesus washes your sins away, and you are without spot, and you are blameless. You walk up to the judgment bar, Jesus will look down at you, and then look at the book of life, and he'll say, you're without spot and blameless. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Does that sound good? Earth is a place of mortality. Heaven is a place of life. Earth is a place of dissolving tabernacles. Heaven is a place, is a house not made with hands. The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. A place of glorified bodies. You know, when you get to Brother Tim and I's age, you start to think about glorified bodies. No heart transplants. No liver transplants. No chemotherapy. No bypass surgery, but bodies eternal. He will change our vile body that may fashion like unto his glorious body, according to the working that is able to even to subdue all things to himself. There's not even blood pressure medicine there. Tylenol was a thing of the past. No pain medicine. All gone. But you know, tonight, our flesh makes it impossible to go to heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. When we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Heaven is a place of eternal health care. It doesn't even require Medicaid and Medicare. And there certainly is no staggering hospital bills. It's a place of security. The wicked cease from troubling, and the weary be at rest. Are you weary tonight? There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there. The servant is free from his master. There is no security there. No need for going through security. No security searches. No metal detectors. No passwords. No video surveillance. There's no Xanax, no rest, or to rest, no morphine for pain. No terrorist attacks and no earthquakes. Do you want to go there? Well, the proposition for tonight is let Jesus in. Is to let Jesus in. Is he just outside the door? Think of the door at the back of the church. It's Jesus was standing out there. Would you go let him in? Is he standing at the door of your heart tonight? Will you let him in? We'll have an invitation after we have a word of prayer. Let's pray first.